How's it going, Shy?
It's going okay. You know how I have a battle against dry skin. You know this. I like to, you know, not have dry skin.
Yeah.
At the very least. Well, my skin is everywhere. My skin is extremely dry right now.
Okay.
Because I guess, you know, I'm not able to get into a shower the way I normally would because of this foot thing. So I've been taking sink baths, you know, like someone in the 18th century or some shit. Did they have sinks then? I don't know. I've just been hobbling down to a riverside and splashing water on my nether regions, basically. You know, that just leaves me kind of dry and I'm flaking all over the place. I'm just dry skin everywhere. It's really bothering me.
They don't tell you the parts that'll bring you mental anguish.
They really don't. Look, I really want them, when they're talking about any sort of illness or healing period, any convalescence, they need to talk about the mental part of it. Because there's a part of you, there's a part of your brain that will always say, hey, you probably could just go ahead and you'll be fine. And that part is wrong. It's it's wrong most of the time. You need it at times in order to do a stupid thing. And so, you know, it's like the part of you that's just like, you can get to this place, you can do that kind of thing. And like say COVID.
Right.
So when I had COVID, there was a time where I felt a little bit better, but I wasn't negative yet.
Right.
You know, and your brain's like, girl, just go on out there. You know, if you feel fine, this is just like a cold. And I had to like tell my brain, no, I'm reading that this kills people, so I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah, yo, they don't always agree.
They don't. And then like also with COVID, I lost my sense of smell and taste. And so with that, I lost my sense of worth. You know, like I did.
Yeah.
Like, have I ever lived before? And so there are just so many things. Like I'm looking at my skin flaking off. You know, it's the dead skin and it's dry and it's dead and it needs to go. And soon I'll be, once I get a chair for my shower, I'll be able to get into the shower and scrape all of this off. And I'm very excited about that. That'll be a happy day in the house. But in the meantime, I'm just like, what is this leprosy? Like, I am just it's so much.
I love that, like, you broke an ankle and like you're time traveling now.
Yes. Yeah, I'm washing in sinks. I've got leprosy.
Oh man. I feel you a lot on this. Like, I every time that like there's like a health related thing that I either I'm dealing with because I'm sick, or even when like I'm making improvements because I'm learning them too late, I start to question if it's like worth it. Like the mental component is the bigger part. Like, for example, you mentioned lotioning. I've mentioned on this podcast, I got into lotioning this past year.
Right.
You know, I'm very late to the game. And I instantly feel better every time I lotion. My skin feels better. I feel like, oh, this is the hype. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, should've listened to mom, should've listened to Gabby years ago. I get it.
Right, right.
Every single time I lotion, I feel better. But there are times that as I'm lotioning, like, I swear my skin starts talking to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, it's over, B. Like, why are you starting now? You know, it's too late.
It's too late.
You know? Hey, you had a chance to do this when it would have helped us, baby. Okay?
Right.
No. Your wife is 2 years older than you, and she will always look younger than you. And that's your fault. You got to own it. You made a decision in your 20s, and now we're here. Like, I hear my skin saying that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I have to fight that of, like, I hear you. You're right, probably, admittedly. I should have been lotioning the last, like, 3-4 decades. But I could still salvage what's left. You know,
right.
It could be better than nothing, and I have to do it. But I constantly am fighting that. Like, I'll start lotioning, I'll do a full lather, and it'll disappear. I'll still be dry, and like, yeah. I'll hear my skin taunt me, like, ha! You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't have happened if you'd been doing this since the 80s, you know? Like,
right, yes. And,
but I gotta fight through that. Like, that. There's so much mental to doing the right things for your health.
Yeah.
That people don't just talk about. They just think it's the direct thing, like, you know, stay off your feet, or like, it comes up a lot with like with the diabetic stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My Michaela's birthday was a couple weeks back. You know, like I bought these cupcakes. This place Layers is incredible. And like, I ate one, phenomenal. And I bought too many. I was excited for her. I bought like cupcakes. Six people were coming to this party. No, and just had cupcakes left over in the house. And every day I would walk by the cupcakes and they would be like, yo, you can't have me. You know, like, I would hear the cupcakes like talking shit. Like, that would be, this ain't for you no more. You know? And yeah, like, I think the mental part of that, of like dealing with the things that, like, I know I'm not supposed to have an abundant amount of sweets and carbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But also them shit tastes delicious. And I have to have, like, I'm not saying no once. I'm saying no the 24 hours of the day.
Right.
You know, like, the whole day, anytime something sweet, not even is visible, just pops in my head. Every TV commercial, movies when they eating shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit's just constantly like, yo, you can have this too. It might kill you, but it's worth it, Gaster. You know what I mean? Like, it's just constantly like drilling. So yeah.
Yeah. Just not being able to go anywhere. And when I told my sister, I don't know if I mentioned this, when I told my sister, oh, I'm going to have to stay off of it for 6 weeks, she was like, that doesn't sound right. And I said, no, that's what the doctor said. I know I have to be. She's like, no, that's impossible. Like, how are you supposed to do that? I don't think that's right. She was just, I don't think that's right. And I was just like, I mean, I don't understand why a surgeon would tell me a wild number of weeks. Like, yeah. I feel like that's probably correct, but I see where you're getting from, where you're coming from, because you've never had to really stop for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And the idea of it is insane. I agree. It is wild, but I'm already hurt. So someone saying you can't go anywhere for 6 weeks, I'm like, well, yeah, nah, I guess I can't, you know, like, no, I believe you. I believe that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but all that is to say, now I'm still like, huh, all right, I guess I'm not supposed to, I guess I just sit here.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brain's like, I mean, certainly there must be a task. You must be, certainly there's something you're supposed to do. And I get up and I hop into the living room and I'm like, no, there's not. I'm actually supposed to be sitting down. And it's just, it's very hard.
Real talk.
Yeah, it's very tough to kind of get, you know, do a thing. And your brain is just like, go on, do these other things.
Yo.
Why does your brain have it out for you? Because it's bored?
Yeah. I think it's a survival thing. I really feel like everything human is done in groups. Like, the whole human experience is being around people. And when you can't be around people, your brain starts thinking something is wrong. Go find the people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like, I think it comes up in everything, but I think like it's a brain thing. Like, even if it's like, even if your version of people is like the internet, like, right, whatever that is, like, if you stay away from it too long, whatever version of getting to them that you need, your brain starts telling you like, nah, this ain't right. And your version is like literally going to shows and going to work.
Right.
So like, I think like in your head, like, and validly so, you've created a system for some time now where you go out and see people in a specific way.
Right.
And it covers that like need and itch for you of like, you know, society.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like your brain's like, yo, what the fuck? Where is that? Like, that's not, we're not getting the right amount of social are we in trouble? Like, are we being left behind by society? You know, like, all of that starts popping in. I might be projecting.
No. I mean, you honestly, that's certainly it. Because, I mean, I'm not necessarily a person. I mean, I don't, like, hang out with people. Not that I'm against it. I just, you know, I've always been like, ugh, all right, or whatever. And then I get there and I'm fine.
Yeah.
But my version of that is going to shows and seeing right. people at shows and that kind of thing. And I'm not able to do that. So I'm like, well, I don't even know what's happening. What's going on? And then my brain is also just like, be prepared to run in case something happens. Like I am, I literally am like, okay, if there's a fire here, I gotta, you know what I mean? Like I gotta grab my important papers. So let me get my papers where I can grab them while I hop there on one foot. Like, what am I getting? I don't know.
Yo.
But anything's possible because I've broken it. Because I've broken my ankle. Now I'm like, anything bad that I've worried about can happen. And so, anything, all of it. It's all possible. And I'm someone who already thought it was all possible, but now I know it's all possible. Because something has happened. It's a different state of mind. I tell you what.
Oh man. And you said I know you said you hadn't broken a bone before, right?
Right.
You had your sister?
No, she hasn't. She's pulled muscles though.
Got you.
I know
she's
whatever.
Done like dancing. Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's pulled muscles. I remember her pulling a muscle when she was in high school and having to use crutches then. For okay. a little while. But no, nothing like this. Nothing this is the most serious of something to happen to the Sharp sisters, I think.
Yo.
Outside of and it always seems to be me. She seems to skate through. I mean, yes, she pulled a muscle, but I mean like I've had my gallbladder taken out, I've broken a bone. Like I'm kinda chill in hospitals. I don't know why I does. Yeah. But it's a weird thing where I'm just like, all right, I'm going to let you do it. You know, you guys are in here. And I know I read enough to know that there are all kinds of people who don't know what the hell they're doing in hospitals. But you put me in that gown. I'm like, okay, I have to trust you.
Oh, yeah. Man. Also, unrelated to this at all, but like, the Sharp Sisters should definitely be like a young adult like book series. Like that shit sounds so dope, yo. Y'all just out here solving crimes, yo.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I'm so about
that.
This, yo. Straight up. The Hardy Boys, the Sharp Sisters.
An emotional crime. Yeah, I mean it would just be the two of us going to the club once a month. That's for a while. That's what it was. It's just once a month going to the club. And that was in our elder years. That was when we were weaning ourselves off of being in the street. We were like, okay, we'll go to this club once a month. That's not counting the separate times that we would go outside of that. That's us chilling out on the club. So yes, it's the Sharp Sisters at the club solving crime.
I like it. I'm writing that book. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna start asking y'all like weird questions randomly. It's all research for character. You know?
I mean, it'll be for my sister, the crimes would have to happen in the hip hop world, and then for me, the crimes would have to happen in the indie rock world because that's really where we spent our years.
Has there even been like a young adult like series like that in Atlanta?
Definitely. Who knows? I swear to God, I don't know what the young people are reading. I feel like it's all vampires and people that sparkle or some shit. Listen, or I don't know what the young people are reading.
Yo, I know my sister she's 22.
Mm-hmm.
She's constantly reading like books that like scare me a little when she describes them. Like, it'd be like, all right, so this lady went away for her semester abroad and when she gets there, four people died. I'm like, all right, why are you reading? Like, it's summertime, homie. Like,
yo, what kind of beach read is this?
Yeah, it's too stressful. You know what I mean? Every time she describes a book, I'm like, it's too much tension, my G. Like, I got for real problems. I can't have my book, my escape, be more problematic.
That's very funny, because when I did that cruise, right, I performed on that cruise and then just chilled for most of it. And I had a book I was reading, and it literally was about a woman, like, there was some sort of sinister kind of, maybe this woman's out to get you, or someone's trying to kill you in the publishing world and blah, all this shit. And I'm just like on a boat, like, do-do-do-do-do, reading this very stressful. It was stressful.
Oh my God. I can't, yo. I need peace.
That's not normally what I would, I mean, I got the, whatever the book was, and I can't believe I'm blanking on it, but I got the book because, the author's first name was the same as my sister's first name.
Yeah.
And I can't, it's been made into a TV show that's on Hulu. Let me see if I can find the name of it. The Other Black Girl. That's what it's called.
Oh yeah. I got hyped. I saw the first season of that.
Yeah. So I read that book, and, you know, it has like a weird kind of dark, like thriller kind of turn to it that I don't normally go to that, but I'm like, yeah. Well, I'm here now, and I'm just on this boat, and all this dark stuff is happening, and I'm just in the sun, like, huh? Wow, this is, you know, so ridiculous.
Yo, I got my sister read a book. She just, I don't remember what she said about it. She described it. It was kind of interesting. My daughter was in the room. She borrowed it. She reads the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were talking about it, I was like, I'd like to borrow that too. And like a month after my daughter finishes it, she gives me the book. I couldn't tell you what the hell they said that made me say I want to read the book. I can't remember.
Right.
I look at the cover. I read the back. I'm like, why did I say I want to read this? You know, like nothing about it like triggered a memory.
Yep.
But they're like, yeah, you were like, yeah, like I want to read the book. And they both read it. And like, every time the three of us are in the room, I have to pretend that I know what the book is about now.
Why don't you just read the book?
I still got it here. I've been like, I've been lying to them for months. I've been telling them, yeah, I'm like halfway through. I haven't started at all.
What's it called?
Here we go. This is How You Lose the Time War. This book here.
How You Lose the Time War. What's the author's name?
Max Gladstone. So okay. My sister described it, and then sometime during the description, I was like, yeah, that sounds interesting. And then my daughter was like, yeah, I'm gonna read it. So I was like, yeah, I'll borrow it after that too. I was in the euphoria of my daughter and sister reading. I was like, hell yeah, I want to encourage that. So let me read it too. Then they called my bluff. They were like, yeah, like you gonna borrow it after us. They both read it. They be having deep-ass convos about it. I don't know. Everything I've learned about the book is through them talking in front of me and me pretending I know what's happening. But I haven't read the book yet. I got to read the book at some point. They're going to call me out on it.
Nah, just read the Wikipedia page.
Yo.
I've got it up right now. Yep.
And, like, literally in the back of the book,
mm-hmm.
like, the quote sounds like I'm talking about the book. Like, the first quote. That, like, you know, like how they ask other people to like say something.
Yeah, for blurbs. Yeah.
Yeah. The first blurb is, holy shit, this was good. I was like, yeah, that's how I would like promo a book. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got to read this thing. But it's been sitting here for like 3 months.
Yeah. Read about the book online. This is how I make it through TV shows or movies. Because I'm the kind of, I know people, this is my new crusade of just like, we've really gone on a journey, by the way, from my dry skin to me telling people to just not finish the book, just read about the book if you can't finish the book or whatever. But I mean, no one, it's okay. It's your life. If you want to, but you're not sure why, read about the book and then, you know, and then you can actually listen to them talk about it and get a little bit more from it and go, oh, I didn't pick up on that. Of course you didn't. You didn't read the book, but you had enough interest. You had enough information from the Cliff Notes or the Spark Notes or whatever they call it. You can find that a Wikipedia page, whatever it is. You can do that. I mean, I'm looking at this now. This is going to be a hard book to kind of fake your way through.
Yo,
but read read that and a couple of critical essays. Read a Wikipedia page and two critical essays or reviews about the book, and you could.
I got to the wiki page. I see why I didn't do that. Because like it gives you one paragraph of plot and then four paragraphs of, yo, this book was great.
But yes. Normally, the plot is a lot longer. So that's why I'm like, how exactly does this work? I'm like, huh? But I mean, you know, you still can. Somebody wrote a review of the book. There had to be reviews for it to get all these awards, right? So then look up reviews of the book.
Yo, because I was starting to get in my head about it. I started thinking like maybe the book is like some Sixth Sense shit where like no, all the reviewers agreed not to talk about the book because they don't want to spoil it. You know what I mean?
Oh, perhaps. Yeah, some people, when they review, they don't want to spoil it. I don't care about a spoiler. I love a spoiler. My sister's like, you're always spoiling shit. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I come in halfway through and then I spoil it. I'm sorry. That's my bad. Look, my mother used to start a book, and then after she got a couple of chapters in, she'd go all the way to the back page, read the back page of the book, and then go back and finish the book. She was like, she don't want no surprises. And I was like, that's the bitch. That's the bitch.
Yo.
I will jump ahead like a motherfucker and then rewind it to go back. I don't give a fuck. you ain't surprising me. I'm not going to let this book sneak up on mine. Not the kid.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I just picture like your sister was in town this weekend. I picture like her being in the living room reading books and you spoiling from the bedroom.
Yeah, just yelling out. Which one are you reading? The one where blah, 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 blah. And then the sound of her throwing that book to the floor.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, man. I'm writing that pilot, Sha. Okay.
The Sharp Sisters.
The Sharp Sisters. Y'all got a dynamic, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's something, all right.
Let's get into the news.
Okay.
Sperm donor. Whoa, did not expect to start that hot. Okay.
you just be stacking these articles. Yo.
Surprise me, yo. Like, real talk. Oh, man. Okay. I didn't think those were going to be the first two words I said today in the reading the articles. Okay. Sperm donor makes shocking discovery. I made a shocking discovery reading this article. I'm the biological father of 97 kids and likely more. Dylan Stone Miller became a sperm donor while he was a college student at Georgia State University. Oh, he's from y'all area, Sha. Back in 2020, just minutes into his new job as a software engineer, Dylan Stone Miller read a direct message on Instagram that left him stunned. A woman who had conceived a daughter with sperm he first donated to a sperm bank 9 years earlier while attending college had managed to track him down and wanted to thank him. Soon, Stone Miller found himself clicking through the woman's Instagram profile, staring at hundreds of photos of his biological daughter. Seeing this little girl's beautiful face just filled me with so much joy, love, and gratitude. Had a fight back to hold the tears. In the months that followed, Stone Miller began hearing from dozens of parents, all of whom welcomed children with his sperm. Using his donor number, they had found their way to one another online and formed a Facebook group to stay in touch. At last count, Stone Miller estimates that he has at least 97 biological children in 6 countries, but says the true number could be more than 250. The revelation altered the trajectory of his life and eventually inspired him to become a passionate advocate for donors and families. Now he's calling for legal limits on the number of pregnancies that result from one sperm donor, as well as changes to the ways that the multi-billion-dollar industry treats people like him and recipient families. As soon as I saw the face of this little girl who looked just like me, there was no going back. I knew it was going to be important to show up in whatever way she and her family, along with all the other families, wanted me to. The idea of becoming a donor came from Stone Miller's roommate at Georgia State University in 2011. Before long, he was earning $100 per donation at the Atlanta-based sperm bank, Zytex, which caters to clients around the world. Ultimately, my motivation was financial to help pay for bills and tuition as a broke college student. Stone Miller calculated that he made some 400 donations.
There we go.
Between 20 and 25. between the ages of 20 and 25, leading to about $40,000 in income. Yo, that's earned money. Sperm donations limits are not nationally regulated. I was informed that Zytex said the limit was 40 families. And at the time, I thought there was no way it would reach that.
Okay, look. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids. So this brings a couple of things to mind. One, what was his description in the catalog? Why was he chosen so much? I'm looking at him, and I mean, apologies already to garden variety white people, but if you are a garden variety white person and you're trying to make some more, I can see where this is your dude. Maybe he's a tall guy. I don't know how much information you get, but like, if you're like, well, this guy has brown hair, so if you want to try and do more of that, although I don't see why you need to. At any rate, what's in his catalog? What's his description? Because like, that's a lot of people picking this dude, right?
Yo.
And secondly, 400 times, my man. 400 Yo. Times? 400 times? 400 times.
Oh man, the numbers, yo.
Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And 400 times, and then also, maybe there should be limits.
Yeah. Even he said it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got possibly up to 250 children. And he's just trying to get Dave Matthews tickets or whatever.
So. Oh, man. One, we got to talk about the price of education in this country. That this man was like, yo, I got to make 400 donations for a bachelor's degree. That's a new way to measure your bachelor's right there. 120 credits, 400 donations at a sperm bank.
Also at Georgia State University, which don't get me wrong, I love Georgia State University.
Solid school.
They have my favorite radio station of all time. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for Georgia State University's radio station. That said, it's not like my man was going to Tech. You know what I mean? He wasn't going to Georgia Tech. It was right down the street. You know what I mean?
Real talk, yo.
Let's keep it a buck.
Yo, and you was in-state by sophomore year.
You were in-state.
Yo.
Come on.
My man, yo. You made money off of this. Let's be real.
Yeah, no, he definitely. This was for concerts. This was for concerts.
You got some beer money. You got some pizzas.
Absolutely. This was for like video games.
Hey, dude.
Yeah.
Like this donation was for 237 or whatever. Like that wasn't no tuition.
No. That definitely wasn't. Like what? What was? I just can't even. My brain just. What?
400, yo.
That 400 times. And also, they were kind of lowballing you because I remember at the time researching, I was trying to write a joke. 2011, I definitely was trying to write a joke about, or had a joke about sperm donors. And and I discussed it with my coworkers at the time, and I worked with nothing but dudes. And we were in a big room, and we had a big discussion, and we found out, you know, that the pay could get up to like $300 per deposit or something like that. And I remember these numbers because I worked them into the joke. I don't remember the joke, but I remember the details that I learned in researching for the joke. And I'm here to say, you weren't making the amount of money you should. I mean, clearly, look at all the... you weren't making a lot of money, and so they didn't put the kind of precautions they should have put on it so that all your kids couldn't find you. They literally, they might as well have just had your donor number just like splashed on the front pages. They found you real easy.
Yo, they found you on DM, my G.
Yeah, How about that?
They DM'd you, yo. That's wild, yo. That is not the slide in your DM they expecting right there, yo. My man chilling at home, sliding his DM. Yo, this your kid. One of 250, maybe. That's wild work.
Oh, my gosh.
I got like a lot. Curious about tuition, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
B, to your point, I feel like he chose the wrong career, okay? I want to know how he writes, because this man sold himself 250 times to couples, 400 right. times to that bank. Real yeah. talk, they were like, yeah, nah, this dude's a hit. Like, they kept, because, like, when you take in even the sperm bank, they right. like, they're taking 400 donations, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They cut, they like, it's like restaurants. You got to have other shit on the menu. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Straight up. This dude was the burger at Five Guys. Everybody else was like the grilled cheese. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we make it, but like, nobody picking that shit. You know what I mean? Yo. This dude got 400 and 250 got used. Yo, that's solid.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah,
like
they
had, that means that there were weeks where the sperm bank was like, yo, we don't got enough for this dude. Calling him. Like, yo, listen, we ran out on Thursday. You got to re-up.
Right. I mean, it doesn't say how old he is now, right? Because they said, oh, no, this happened in 2000. So this was at least, no, they still, he gave him a lot. His swimmers were strong.
Yeah.
Because there are little kids in these pictures, and he donated over 10 years ago.
Yo, this dude a legend, yo. Real talk. Also, like, I'm looking up, too, like, sperm pays as little as $30 in some places, as
well,
much as
that?
500.
Well, that's just...
as much as $30
is... I mean, is that a, like... Like at a truck or something? Like, is that in a facility?
They taking donations at Home Depot? What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that doesn't seem.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is all like wild to me. It blows my mind how much sperm donation pay and spot pay for comics is in line.
Right.
That is scary. Those are both the same decision for a lot of comics.
Right. And yeah. in both cases, not a lot of room for women.
Yeah. Shame.
No way for women to really seemingly make money. There's no place for us.
Oh my God. How does he visit all these kids?
That's the other thing I'm worrying about. Why are you, just because they're contacting you doesn't mean you have to say hi to them. I think that's another thing. Like, get yourself to a therapist, my man.
Yo.
Like, I'm glad that you are advocating for limits. Definitely there should be limits. But also, like, really talk through emotionally what that's like to have a new kid just slide in your, hey, I got to, you know what I mean? Because it's been 10 years since you've donated and there are 3-year-olds that you fathered. That means, like, they still shooting you up, my dude. How does that
yo.
Feel?
Real talk, man. Yo, like, low-key, like, he had a hit record.
He had a hit record.
Yo, real talk. Yo, that's got a fire, though.
He had a hit record.
Real
my man
talk,
had a hey ya.
Real talk, though.
My man hit a hey ya, and now...
That's everywhere, dude. They play you in your at Target. You know what I mean?
Yo, he's been played at weddings. He's been played at every club.
Oh yeah, yo, that's fun. Yo, man, that's props, yo. You know what? I'm all over this. I love
the grannies
idea.
Love him. The strippers love him. He had a hit record.
I've thought about this a lot. I can't do it because I have kids. I think if I was single, I would have done it. If that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, no, that makes sense.
Like, yeah. I got people already. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need more y'all, and I'm in charge of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't, I feel like this is a not kids having decision. Like, if you don't have kids, you could do this freely.
Well, I mean, like, he's not thinking of, I'm imagining he's in college. He's not thinking of kids.
Right.
Right. He's just thinking, I want to see Dave Matthews. And so he, and they will give, here's $100 for it. And then he just goes on his way. And I wonder if the average sperm donor really thinks about, like, not just the idea of, like, maybe you'll have a kid out there, but also maybe you'll have a few kids.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll have 3 or 4 or maybe 10, or maybe you'll pull fucking hey on numbers like this dude.
Real tall, dude. This is crazy, yo. It is a weird flex, yo. Like,
yes.
Like, this should be in his dating profiles, right? Like, this should be on that.
I feel like this is, I don't know when during the first, what date you dropped this information, because he is divorced. And so I'm sure you're out here dating. I don't know when exactly you drop this, if this is second date or if this is like immediately, or how you do this.
But it's got to come out.
Yeah, you got to say something.
How come I keep seeing you everywhere? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, in my dreams, something like that. You know, I'm out there. In other news, Florida bill loosening work rules for 16 and 17 year olds is headed to a House vote. That's right. God. A bill that would loosen work rules to allow 16 and 17 year olds to work more hours is headed for full vote on the Florida House floor. HB 49 passed the Florida Commerce Committee on Tuesday, and it its last stop before going to the full House. It passed 13-5, largely along party lines with Democrats against it. The bill allows 16 and 17-year-old people to work the same number of hours as a person who is 18 years or older. Rules limiting the teens from working more than 8 hours a day when school is in session the next day, or more than 30 hours in any week when school is in session are to be removed. They would also be able to work more than 6 consecutive days in a week. It also removes the rule that teens ages in 16 and 17 cannot work more than 4 hours continuously within a 30-minute break. They would be allowed to the same breaks as employees who are 18 and older.
Yo, I am. What's happening? Like, I'm so concerned for the country. Like, we are literally putting child labor back on the books.
Yeah.
Like, around the country, this is happening. Where they're like, yeah, what are they, 14? Yeah, we can put them in a mill. What?
Yo.
What does this mean? That you're, the idea that you see a 16 or 17-year-old needing, like, getting a job and needing to work the same hours as anyone else means something is wrong. And instead of seeing what is wrong, they're like, well, let's make it legal. This is what they want to do. No, it's not. It's scary. That's very scary to me.
Yeah. Insanity, yo. Like, I had 2 kids. One's going to be this age next year. She ain't ready for this.
Right.
Like, I see them kids every day do stupid shit. I don't want them in charge, but I don't want them working 40 hours anyway. They're not capable of that yet.
Right.
I'm sure there's some there are, but the majority are not. And that's okay. They're not supposed to be
right
at that age. That's the whole point of being that age. You're learning shit. I'm blown away that, like, not only did it pass, it like, that was smooth. 13-5?
Yeah, well, I mean, that speaks to the, you know, political makeup of the Florida's government right now, that they would, because they said it was on party lines, with the Democrats being like, no. So, but, you know, what does that matter if there's only 5 of you, you know? Yeah. So,
like, I'm picturing, like, you're telling me Aiden's going to be out here delivering for Amazon in 2 years? Like, yo, my son ain't about that life.
Right. Exactly.
And he got to be out here dropping 100 packages, and then y'all, and I'm going to get mad at him because he ain't finished his essay when you get home?
Yeah, and he still has to go to school. Yeah.
Yo.
And school, school is work.
Yeah.
School is what is training the kids to live a life of work in a, you know, I don't know, trapped environment. I don't know, something like that. But like it's the school is training them for being a part of the rat race.
Yeah.
But it's still training. Yeah. Like they still need moments of fun.
Yo, this is like real life Hunger Games shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is dystopian. Like, yo, is you got arms and legs, you labor.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is. And they're putting it on the books. And I don't know like how to, let me tell you something. When this revolution comes and I feel it, it's around the corner. First of all, I can't believe I'm going to be here watching this goddamn revolution. You know what I mean? This is not what I saw for me. I'm just like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to be one of the last people here watching folks. Ugh, this is not what I wanted. But it's going to be kind of wild. It's going to be kind of wild. Like, this is, I don't know. This, when I see stories like this, I'm just like, yo, we had a moment. We had a pocket of time when COVID first hit and people were taken to the streets about stuff.
Yeah.
There was we had a pocket of time where we were just like, we need to change everything.
Oh, and
I was
good.
Just like, yeah, I was just like, yo, everything needs to change. There are so many things that could change and we could all benefit. And then that door slammed shut. And now people are really scrambling to hold their stuff and push people down. And the folks being pushed down are like, no, this is troublesome. Like, this really mm-hmm. bothers me. And I don't know how you fix it outside of disruption. So however y'all in Florida can disrupt shit, disrupt
might be
it.
That time. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's time.
Yo, what, you know what adulthood has taught me more and more? Yo, the bad guys are smart too. Like you know, real talk. I watched movies my whole life and they always did some stupid shit. Mm-hmm. And the hero would, oh, yo, bad guys, they catching W's too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's not just one win that makes, I mean, like, it's a number of wins on the bad guy's side before the good guy finally has to, like, what if we do this? And it's like, yeah. Give that a shot, because they are kicking y'all's ass right now.
Real talk, yo.
These bad guys got, they got everybody in chains already, so I'm going to need you to step it up.
In other news, male marsupials cannibalized to fuel 14-hour death-inducing mating sessions.
What? I don't... That makes... Hold on. Let me read that again to myself. Male marsupials cannibalized to fuel 14-hour death-inducing... What?
It's a wild take. Yo, tiny Australia. I got this article twice. Tiny Australians... tiny Australian mammal, not tiny Australian people. I stopped at the wrong point there.
Right.
Tiny Australian mammals have been observed eating each other during 14-hour mating sessions that ultimately result in the male's death. The bizarre behavior.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm fine with that. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Why hasn't this caught on? You know what I mean? The bizarre behavior. Was first observed by Sunshine Coast Council employee Elliot Bowerman, who had been on a hike in New England's National Park at the time. Emerging from the bushes, he saw a small mammal dragging the carcass of another. The mammal then proceeded to eat the other dead animal. He also noticed there seemed to be a lot of mammals grouped today at this time of day. While the cannibalism in mammals has been observed before, it is unusual to observe so many of the small mammals gathered together during the day. Later, a research team led by Andrew M. Baker, an associate professor in ecology and environmental science at Queensland's University of Technology, observed the video of the behavior that Bowerman had taken on a cell phone. The species are known as Antichinus, They are small marsupials, which are a group of mammals endemic to Australia from the same family as the kangaroo. Baker told Newsweek that this sort of behavior has been observed in two other species in the family of small marsupials that includes Dasyordi and Tasmanian devils. I feel like somebody messing with me with this article more and more.
Tasmanian devils are an actual animal.
Yeah, they're
close to being extinct, because when I was in Australia, we went to a animal sanctuary and they had a pen for Tasmanian devils, but they were like, you may not see them because we had some of them are sick. We're trying to get some of them to start breeding. They're probably hiding out. So yeah. I didn't get to see one, but they said they existed. No one was spinning around like, blah, 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 blah. It turns out that is not how they travel, but okay.
Yo, they don't even look like the cartoon. I'm looking at pictures
of them.
No,
they don't.
Now.
They really don't. Yeah, look, yeah. No, like Looney Tunes kind of really fucked with us on that one.
Liberties, yeah.
Yeah. They took some liberties.
I'm looking at LAO. This ain't you at all.
No. They kind of lied to us on that. Yes.
Oh man. Yeah. Baker realized that this incredibly unusual behavior is rarely seen in the wilderness. We suspected this behavior might occur given there are so many dead males around within a defined period of the year. But suspecting is one thing. Visual evidence is another. During the breeding season, male and females mate promiscuously in frenzied bouts lasting as long as 14 hours. Yo, slow down.
I know.
Woo, that's too hot for this podcast. Certain stress-induced death follows for all males as surging testosterone causes cortisol to flood uncontrolled through the body, reaching pathological levels. The males drop dead, which provides an opportunity for cheap energy gain via cannibalism for the still living males and pregnant or lactating females. Yo. No.
Wait, I can't.
I gotta tell you, it should turn me on. This article crazy. I'm all into it. I wasn't sure how this was going, but all of that shit sounded sexy.
No, wait. Okay, then let me say it. Let me make sure I'm understanding it. Let me just restate it. So this particular animal, these mammals, during breeding season, they fuck for up to 14 hours.
Crazy. Respect.
And it's so stressful for some of the men, the male, that the testosterone, because the testosterone causes cortisol to flood the body and kill them. So they fuck until they get a stroke or a heart attack or some shit.
Straight up.
And then they drop dead. Right? And then the other animals that are around, be it the females who are already pregnant or lactating, and the dudes that are still alive, eat those guys.
Yep.
For energy.
Yeah.
Damn. Talk about no new friends. This shit is this cold world, man. Cold world. Yo.
Yo, like, I don't know why, but like this felt like some like weird shit that like some Splinter 5% dude would tell me. You know what I mean? Like, and they use your energy when they replace you. You know what I mean? I've heard this dude on the corner for years.
Yeah, I'm like, this is exactly what I want to hear while on the train. It's somebody explaining.
Even after 14 hours of providing lovemaking to your woman, read this pamphlet. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, this comes with a pamphlet. This comes with a pamphlet.
Oh, man.
Maybe this is a pamphlet that this is information. Hold on. This is information that is certainly passed out by any sperm bank. As to why don't hook up with people in person. It's going to be 14 hours. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to die. The person who you're with is going to eat you. Or wouldn't you rather come here, make a deposit, get yourself like, you know, $100, go get a nice meal.
Do you want to eat at Applebee's or be Applebee's?
He's right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you would like to sponsor, donate, or be a part of the War Report Sperm Bank.
Oh, no.
All you got to do is like, subscribe to the show, baby. If you're an Apple, Spotify listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars. That's what we're rating your sperm. 4 stars, okay? Nobody is picking your shit, okay? 5 stars. You got 5-star sperm, both donating and access to whatever you need.
Wow. You know? Okay. I'm not 100% sure how we're making those calls, everybody, at the sperm bank. I don't exactly know how, if we just got to like the cut of your jib or whatever in order to go, yeah, let's make him be a dad over and over and over again. So please be careful with your ratings when you try to.
If you need money, all of your sperm donor bios will be written by Maya Angelou and Robert Frost. Okay. They're going to write incredible.
I don't think that's going to get people to know. That's not. Oh, I think that actually the bios should be written by anyone who's written a letter to Penthouse.
Ooh, I like
any
that.
Of the Penthouse letters, they're going to know how to get your attention. That's how you get. I'm not reading poetry. Don't give me poetry.
Oh, no, man. Good Robert Frost poem would have been dope. You know what I mean?
Nah.
The road less travel.
Nah, I don't need taken. That. I don't need that. Nope. Nah, give me a, I never thought it could ever happen to me, but ... Now I'm in. Now I'm invested.
Oh, man. If you have any articles you want us to cover, please DM us directly or on Twitter or Instagram at Silky Jumbo or at Gastro Almonte. Shout outs this week to Winnie Locke and FCBLJ. With all that said, I am the owner, but admittedly not donor, Gastro Almonte. You know what I mean?
And I'm only in charge of the social media. I'm not in the office. I don't have gloves on. I'm not in the day to day.
Real talk. Shalay, what's up? If no one uses your donation after a year, we feed it to the male marsupials of Australia.
Right.
So either way, you saving lives. You good?
Either way. Someone wants a piece of you, either way.
This has been a life-giving episode of War Report. Catch y'all next time. Peace.